Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden on a beautiful day. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness. They do advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. We've got Trump cracking down on crime. We've got Denver housing prices dropping yet again. All kinds of stuff going on national. But wanted to start off today with Hope Shuppelman, everybody, former vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party. She and Dave and Anna did a great job, just a grassroots warrior. And she has recently announced she is a candidate for House of Representatives in CD3, and there's a lot to talk about in CD3. So, Hope, welcome to the show. Appreciate your time.
Hey, Hope.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me again.
You bet.
You have been, and this is great. I mean, I see you. You are everywhere. YouTube, Twitter, X, Facebook. You're all over the place. But Jeff Hurd, the Rhino representative, is MIA. He's MIA unless you're on a junket being wined and dined in Israel. And I wanted to talk to you about this because why don't you kind of bring folks up to speed? Sometimes in the front range, I know having been a TV reporter and covered wildfires, you're not up to speed on what's going on. So why don't you? I mean, CD3 is literally, going up in flames, right?
Yes. And so thank you so much for bringing that to light, because here's the thing. Colorado in itself, CD3 is definitely on fire, literally on fire. I think the last time I counted, there was at least 7 to 8 active, huge fires. I had the opportunity to meet the Rocky Mountain Complex incident team Saturday, August 9th. And that is the team that was helping fight the fire there in Meeker County. It's called the Lee Fire as well as the Elk Fire. There's two separate fires within Rio Blanco. I would absolutely love to talk a little bit about my visit with them and then to give an update on the campaign and how well it's going.
All right, perfect. Well, let's start with that then, because, you know, like I said, I was a reporter for a long time and covered a lot of forest fires. And I think it's hard for people, again, here to understand just how devastating, because a lot, though these fires, I mean, they move unbelievably fast. So residents have to be put, at first they put them on pre-evacuation orders and evacuation orders, and it totally disrupts your life for days. And that's even if the fire doesn't really get all that close to your house, right? You've got to have all your stuff packed up. You're ready to go. You can't work. It's the start of the school year. I imagine they've had to postpone that. I mean, talk about, because I know I've seen you, you've been all over the place talking about the impact on people's lives. I mean, tell us a little bit. It's just got to be horrific.
Right. And so on September 9th, I made the decision to actually travel up there. It was Friday, because it took me close to 7.5, almost 8 hours to get around the fire because of Highway 13 being closed. And I'm going to walk things back.
Okay.
August 2nd is when the fire started, right? I believe POLIS may have declared it. Don't get me on my, I may be wrong on my dates. It was a couple of days after he declared it a state of emergency. I was actually at a friend's pinning for Captain in Colorado Springs, supporting him there, where I heard that the National Guard got deployed. There's two huge planes that day that got deployed. So I made it upon, I talked with my team and I said, hey, we need boots on the ground. As somebody who has been in the Navy and has served our country, boots on the ground is the most critical thing. There's no I in team. I wanted to hear from them, meaning the firefighters directly, to see what I can do to help, as well as just hear from a federal standpoint, when I become the Congresswoman for CD3, what I can do to make things move quicker. When I was there, I was able to meet with the lead incident commander, who sat down and talked to me about strategy, ensuring the safety, the coordinates of how they are operating, meaning where they're looking to dump the fire retardant itself, talking to actual family members who were relocated that specific day, the moment that fire started. And to hear their stories, I mean, people have been reaching out. It has been an outcry to our campaign because we were the first boots on the ground there. I would have thought that our current congressman would have actually been there, but yes, you're absolutely right. He was out of the country for the last week, speaking with logistic officers. And then the most important, reaching out to those firefighters and hearing their stories on the impact, as well as how they are targeting this fire. We met with stakeholders, oil and gas, energy, obviously electric lines. You worry about that, right? These are things that we don't really think about. Ranchers moving cattle, speaking to the sheriff's department. I mean, it was a full day speaking to people, boots on the ground, and I was just honored to be invited there to speak with them.
Well, we're going to bring up a still picture. Doug, if we could bring up the still picture. So Representative Hurd, he had boots on the ground. Or I don't think we should say boots. I think we should say leather, expensive tasseled loafers.
Gucci's.
He was in a junket in Israel being wined and dined by APAC. That's the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, there are a bunch of other Republican Congress people there, too. But Hurd is the only one whose district was burning to the ground. And it's kind of hard to see, but you can see that $64,166 by Jeff Hurd's face there. He's kind of back. If you're looking at the screen, he's on the upper left-hand side. That's how much the American Israel Public Affairs Committee gave him. And here he is, while his district is burning down and while hope is out there saying, what can we do to help? He's in a junket in Israel with this group photo being taken. Okay, we can go back to hope then. Thank you, Doug. I mean, I get you got to raise money to get elected, right? And this APAC, they've given to pretty much every congressional representative, and we'll get into that a little bit. But it seems to me... it seems to me that at a time like this, I mean, I remember when there was a weather incident and Ted Cruz came back from wherever he was in Texas. It seems to me that at this point you say, hey, look, APAC, appreciate the money, but now the money that you gave that helped me get elected, well, I got to go do my job now. But apparently not if you're Jeff Hurd, huh?
Right. And a lot of people have been saying that, and I have been pointing that out as well, is because, look, when I was traveling and I had a critical incident that happened within my own family, I looked at that venue and I said, hey, I am so sorry. We, meaning my husband and I, have to travel back. There's an emergency going on within my family or whatever. I would have thought that our current congressman, who is definitely not aligned with President Trump, would have actually, you know, packed up stuff and said, thank you so much. Again, I understand the concept, but when there are 7 active fires, this is the biggest fire here in Colorado. And when that has happened, he should have been here. He should have been here probably day 3 or somebody from his staff. Nobody from his staff was there. I specifically asked those individuals. And here's the thing. These are the things that we are hearing within this district. While I'm traveling the district and talking to property owners, local control people, meaning commissioners, water board, people, just normal people that help function the district and the communities, they haven't seen him. They have not heard from him. They try to call him. Nobody returns their calls from his staff. This is why I'm running for you all.
He's a city guy, isn't he? I mean, he belongs to a corporate law firm in Glenwood Springs.
So Jeff Hurd is based out of Grand Junction, Mesa County.
I'm sorry,
Grand Junction. he's a slick lawyer, right? We don't need any more lawyers up in Washington, D.C. As myself, I'm a critical care nurse practitioner, and I have given my life into service. I look at what's happening in the 3rd Congressional District, and I want to make the district healthy again. I think about health, health in the forest, health in water. I mean, water is something huge that we're dealing with in Colorado in the water compacts. You know, here up in the upper basin, we're really worried about water, the drought, things that are happening. You know, we even had a fire from 35 miles from my door to Archuleta County, which is Pagosa Springs. That actually ended up happening 3 days ago. Right. I called one of the county commissioners right away and said, hey, I'm in the next county, the next district. What can I do? He said, oh my gosh, thank you so much for calling me. He said, do you have a truck? Do you have a trailer? I said, I have a truck. I don't have a trailer, but I can get a trailer. Uh-huh. And he said, I will put you on the list to move large livestock. That is what a leader does. That is what community members do to pull together, not being wined and dined outside the country, outside of your district, when you're supposed to be boots on the ground in the district.
Well, I mean, exactly. And particularly at a time like this. And I mean, I've been watching some of the social media posts, and it's not just here. I think here, him being MIA has been critical, right? And because this is the kind of thing where, just like you, he could have been helpful. But this is just the MO for Jeff Herd, right? He got himself elected with the help of Americans for Prosperity, who could care less about CD3. He got himself elected with the help of AIPAC, which could care less about CD3. And so when he has to make a choice, that's why he's anti-President Trump, right? Who am I loyal to? Who is paying my, you know, who's pulling my strings? It's not the constituents of CD3. No. It's these big money, dark money donors.
Right. And so let's talk about, you know, American for Prosperity. Again, I've already talked about this so many times, but as I'm moving through the district and talking to actual constituents, his constituents, talking about the $1.1 million that we know of that they invested in Jeff Herd, as well as other PACs, right? You know, the things that are going on in Israel, I definitely understand. I understand that whole concept. But let me talk to you about this. And I'm going to talk specifically to the viewers and the viewers in Colorado, the viewers in my district. I cannot be bought. I will not be bought. I will stand up for you. Here's the thing. My campaign, whatever you want to call this, this movement that we have, it's about you. It's about your voice. It's about your story. It's about getting your resources to you. That's what your representative needs to be. Not there being wined and dined by big interest groups. So American for Prosperity ended up spending what we know, right? $15 million against ads and against President Trump in the swing states. These people are not for President Trump. Now they're calling in their chips. They're calling in their chips with Jeff Herd, Gabe Evans. Jeff Herd signed on to the Gunnison Outdoors Resources Protection Act, which, holy cow, if he is for, you know, the 3rd District, why are you now trying to lock up 730,000 of acres of public land that is going to eliminate any timber harvesting? We are going through a drought right now. Timber harvesting in mitigation for fires. Right now, we have 7 to 8 major fires in Colorado that are happening. And that would actually help if we didn't lock up public land. So in my opinion, I believe American for Prosperity has called in their chips for a Herd and said, hey, you need to sign on to this bill with Bennett, Hickenlooper, and get this, guys. Governor Polis has publicly came out and thanked Jeff Herd for his leadership. Yep, for his leadership in signing on to this bill. That is the telltale sign, you guys. You Absolutely. All need to start looking at this critically. Who is going to represent you?
Right. Oh, exactly. And we know. I mean, he just showed us, right? With not being there in the district, not even, I mean, and you're not even sending a staff person.
No.
And, you know, and again, having covered these, I know there are people there who are starved for information. And I've seen it before where sometimes the congressional leaders, and it's not a partisan thing at this point, right? But they can sometimes be a liaison because the incident commanders, like you said, they're busy. They're fighting seven fires, right? They got a lot going on. But all the people I've seen them, they sit, they stand around in gymnasiums and things like that, wanting to know, should I leave? Should I stay? Can I go home? Where, what happened to my horses? All of that. And they need, and the fire departments and the local people do a great job. But I think the more hands you have on deck who have access to resources and access to kind of make things happen. And I mean, and bless your heart, Hope, you said, hey, I'll drive my truck. If that's what you need, I'll drive my drive. You know, I'm going to guess Jeff Hurd doesn't have a truck. I don't know.
A truck for Jeff? No. He's a city sticker.
I've already been in a house fire. So I know in 2004, my husband and I, when we were in Virginia, we had a house fire. And let me tell you, just the smell of that smoke still brings back those memories of the fear and the worriedness. And I wanted to set that level and say, I understand. This is not only just about sympathy, it's about empathy as well, and understanding within the community when they pull together, people have a greater ability to persevere through all of this. It's not, this has nothing to do with understanding, you know, the big time logistics stuff. For me, it was the boots on the ground, really having those true conversations. And again, that's what this campaign, this is what your campaign is about the third congressional district and community members coming together and saying, this is what I need. This is what I need from a representative. And
well, let's spend a few minutes on the rest of your campaign.
Yeah.
I think this is critical, but so is the other parts of your efforts.
Yeah. So the big thing for what my platform stands on, and a lot of people have been asking me the why question, why are you running? Why are you doing this? And the big answer is, look, this is personal. And it's because I am a constituent and my voice has not been heard. And what I have heard throughout the third congressional district, as I was your vice chairwoman, is our voices are not being heard. So I am here to tell everybody that I am here to listen, to understand your stories, and to tell me what you need from a representative, and I will bring that right to Washington. So the things that I've been hearing is about healthcare and Medicaid reform, obviously, is something that I stand firmly against, cutting those individuals who do not need to steal from those monies from people who truly need it. We need able-bodied people that need to be working if you're going to be having Medicaid. I'm definitely there to secure Medicare, as well as the big things and the big questions have been, where do you stand on immigration? Heck no, I don't believe in asylum or amnesty or any of it. I believe in what President Trump has put forward in mass deportation, not just solely the people of the criminal mind, and those that we are waiting for them to cause violence within our community, but everybody who came here illegally, and they are the ones who committed the crime coming here illegally. We have a legal way to come through. There are proud people, proud sheriffs in the third congressional district who have come here legally. And let me tell you, that really makes them very angry when we hear those things where sheriffs in our communities who were able to do this legally, and now our representative, Jeff Hurd, stands with amnesty. And to me, that says everything we need to know about him.
Right. And Governor Polk. Well, where can people hope find out more about your campaign? Where can they help? Because I'm assuming, you know, you can use.
You probably have too much money, but.
Yeah.
Things are going great with the campaign. And thank you so much for asking. Absolutely. If you all want to join this movement, it is a grassroots movement, a true grassroots movement. You can go to hopeforcolorado.com. That's hope, F-O-R, Colorado.com. Donate what you can, get involved, learn a little bit about my issues. And if they definitely resonate with you, jump on board. Hey, we are moving through this district really quickly, not only just quickly, but we're listening to people. And if you want to be a part of that team, please sign up. Sign up for the letters that we're sending out almost on a daily basis, and volunteer. I mean, that's the huge thing that we can do, because it's the voices of the people that we need to have those conversations. And if you continue to have those conversations with your neighbor, when you're at work, when you're at church, and you say, hey, this candidate really resonates with me, that's how this movement continues to move forward. And the movement is huge.
Oh, that's great.
Hey. And I urge everybody to do it too. Hope, thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. And we just so appreciate your time today.
And you're doing a great job.
Just
yes.
Thanks so much, you guys.
All right.
You guys have a blessed day.
You too. Okay, bye-bye. Hope Shuppelman, Hope for Colorado.
She's a wonderful candidate.
She is. I mean, she's killing it. Or crushing it, I guess, as they would say. She's just crushing it. And her is like, you know, with all those people. I want to briefly say, because I thought this was interesting. So this American Israel Public Affairs Committee has donated to pretty much every congressional candidate.
Has not contributed to AOC. Has not contributed
In Colorado. In Colorado, because they're trying to prevent the AOCs. Interesting, the Democrats got the most, but just out of fairness, so Hurd got $64,000, Boebert got $20,000, Jeff Crank in CD5 got $18,000, and Gabe Evans.
Gabe, our man.
He got the most of any
representative.
He got $684,000.
$1,000. Holy shit.
$684,000? From Americans for Israel Public
Affairs
Committee.
How much did Janet Josie get?
I don't think $684,000. So there's that. So we'll keep an eye on that. And thank you to Hope. And I think she's, I don't know, she's running a great campaign. When you go on social media, there are a lot of people unhappy with Jeff Hurd for a lot of reasons. And when you've got Jared Polis thanking you.
Thank you, the creator of Bowen.
Yeah.
We're leadership for us.
Yes. That's all you need to know. Hey, I want to switch gears here a little bit. It's kind of interesting. So I'm sure you've all heard Donald Trump has cracked down on crime in Washington, D.C. He's sort of, because of the unique, I guess, political setup there.
It's federal district.
It's federal district, right. And it's federal parklands and things like that. He's sort of federalized the crime since they aren't. And I love this. Basically, they were talking to Carolyn Leavitt. They've arrested dozens and dozens of people, and they've cleaned out, this cracks me up, 70 homeless encampments. I'm like, 70? Washington, D.C. isn't that big, is it? That's 70 homeless encampments?
We've got 70 here in
Westminster. So. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, basically he's saying, look, homeless, you have two choices right now in D.C. You can either go to a shelter and get treatment, drug and alcohol treatment, or you can go to jail. Those are your choices.
Or mental treatment. I mean, you're suffering from mental problems. And a large percent of the homeless are, when they decided in the brilliance, the liberals decided to deinstitutionalize the crazy, they just put them out on the street. They were incapable of fending for themselves, but they just threw them out there saying, there you go, have a good time.
Keep in mind, the whole thing is a money laundering scheme, right? The Democrats don't care about the actual homeless person. I guess you have to call them unhoused now.
Yes,
but they don't care.
Unhoused is right, yeah.
Right.
Sound better?
Illegal immigrants are now persons without legal status. I'm like, okay. But at any rate, they don't care about the actual people. They just care about creating these NGOs that they can give a bunch of money to, so the NGOs can then funnel the money back around to their friends and lobbyists and help people get elected Democrats. I mean, that's the whole point. It's a money laundering merry-go-round, basically.
So if you're on the merry-go-round, good, but most of us aren't.
Right, exactly. But I think that's great. And it's been kind of interesting watching the liberal media freak out about it and yet kind of not freak out about it, because there was ABC, you know, the reporter they were talking about, she goes, well, actually my coworker this morning was telling me she got carjacked, mm-hmm. right? And even Joe Scarborough on MSNBC said, well, you know, Trump kind of has a point on this one. So Don, if we could, or Doug, if we could please play the DC crime video. This is Joe Scarborough.
Because so many people have been calling me over the past couple of days going, you know, Washington should have gotten involved years ago. This place is dangerous. It's a mess. It's a wreck and whatever. And then they'll go on Twitter, go, this is the worst outrage of all time, the shocking, which I understand. It's like people need to express their concerns about Donald Trump going too far. We saw what happened back in 2020 with the National Guard. Certainly can't have any repeat of that. Don't want the federalization of the entire city. But man, I don't care what the crime statistics say. Crime has been a problem in this city for the 32 years I've been living inside and outside of the city. It's just, you know, even now, Meek and I, we're talking to somebody who lives in the city. These are all Democrats who said, you know, our friends won't walk more than three blocks in D.C. at night without feeling complete opposite of New York City.
Which I think is, it's like when you're Joe Scarborough and you're like saying, you know, New York City, that's the epitome of safety.
Yeah, you're not safety, yeah. Safety
That's not, but I mean, maybe that's how bad Washington, D.C. is, that New York City looks
think about
good.
How many years, and you can go back much, much further, start with Hickenlooper, just for him, 10-year plan to end homelessness. And then all the way through with the various mayors and billions by our present Mayor Johnson, and all these things, and you know, hasn't gotten really rid of much. In a day, there are no more homeless in Washington. In a day, they just come up. You got a choice: shelter or a treatment program.
You know, we're gonna.
And if you say no, then welcome to the jail.
Right,
and it's just the simplicity of it all. Just a, you know, as we've been tearing our hair out in Denver for decades. What can we do about the homeless?
I know we have to lay off mass layoffs of city employees because we've been spending tens and hundreds of millions of dollars on homeless and on illegal immigrants, right? So we
so
can't.
So where are all these Washington people going to go? Denver.
Yeah.
Denver will be one of the stops. I mean, you know,
sure.
They'll buy you a house. And so it just Trump
buy a house, but they didn't put you in it, right? Didn't we just read a thing where Denver had paid $9 million from a hotel, kind of out there on Colfax, for somewhere out there on for the homeless people? And 2 years later, they've never actually even put anyone in it.
Really?
You know what I mean, they just spent $9 million on it. Maybe, I don't know, that could have paid for a few salaries. So, and again, when you have these ridiculous policies, like you have to give them a week's notice and then you just shift them around. I mean, and then what do? You sick Do Better Denver, you know, you sick the Denver Post, if you're the city of Denver, on the people who are trying to help it. It's, but I mean, it proves exactly like you said, if you crack down on crime, and the president went further. He said,
but it's just, so great. I mean, it's just kind of like, great, you got a choice. We're not going to be mean to you. Shelter.
Yeah.
You know, won't be able to do drugs there. Oh. Shelter or treatment program if you are hooked and need to try to get off of it. Or you need, you know, mental assistance. We'll send you to some place that they can help with that. Or you're going to jail. And so, boomo. I mean, like the next day.
They're all like,
the next day.
They're all gone. Well, and the other thing he's talking about getting rid of and pushing to get rid of, which Denver needs to do too, is this personal recognizance fund. No matter almost how horrific your crime is, no matter how many times you have committed other crimes or even the same crime over and over in Denver, it's this progressive policy. And this is what's destroyed. It's a combination of things, right? You don't ever arrest people for very much at all. So if you don't arrest people for committing crimes, guess what? People commit crimes. And then when you do arrest them, if you just let them go immediately and you don't ever go out there to try to bring them back, people don't even worry about it. And, you know, the only people who actually probably go to court are the people who are really unlikely to ever commit a crime again. You know, and
well, you know, I don't know how many years ago, but I felt that the bail system needed to be reformed, but because people would spend months in jail and without ever being charged or having been charged, they weren't given a
and
you know, there had to be other ways to help make sure they come back at the time of trial. So where do we go? And then we just go 20 miles an hour, 50 miles, 100 miles an hour to the other side. We have no bail, no reason for me to come back, no reason for people not to commit crimes.
No. And then you look at the stores and the restaurants closing in Denver. I mean, you see the Walgreens, they've closed numerous Walgreens in the city of Denver because of the shoplifting, right? They've closed numerous grocery stores around the Denver area because of the shoplifting. And the stores are like, we can't make a profit here. So we'll just leave. We'll go other places. All of that has an impact, which kind of ties in. And Jacob, I see your comments and we'll get there in a second, but something you noticed too. So guess what happens? So you've got restaurants closing. So there's no point, and you know, there's nothing to go downtown for. The city, Jenny, my daughter, they have friends that used to go downtown, and she said, we don't go downtown anymore. No one does because it's just too dangerous. The people who live downtown are all trying to move, but there's nowhere to move to because nobody can sell their houses because the housing prices, for the first time in the history of the universe, have plummeted in Denver, right?
And they've also lessened in the 12 counties around Denver. You're seeing a real, state recession is the best way to call it. And it's not surprising. Let's face it. When you came here, Julie, when I came here, we thought of it as Valhalla.
Right.
Beautiful weather, sunny skies, powdery snow. You could ski in the winter. You could do, the spring and fall was just beautiful. I mean, it was a privilege to live in Colorado. Now everybody says, what a shithole.
Right.
Downtown Denver's a mess. The Democrats control everything.
Right.
And the Republicans are so weak and puerile that they let them take over everything. They're nobody saying, oh man, you should have moved to Colorado. There we go, I'm moving to Texas. You know, when I was here originally, the idea of moving from Colorado to Texas was a total anathema.
People were like, oh, the Texans were coming here, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it just shows you how the progressives can screw up Cuba, they can screw up California, they can screw up Chicago. And they can screw up Denver and Colorado.
Well, and you look at, again, you look at the restaurants closing and the businesses closing. And one of the things they cite is, so you've got the crime causing fewer and fewer people to come down in the first place. But then you combine that with the fact that their costs have gone up, the regulations, all of the bureaucratic stuff, you can't use a gas-powered lawnmower. And now what I saw, the minimum wage is going to go up to $20. With Denver. So it's like, oh, that's going to be great for the restaurant industry, right? It's like, it's almost like, and then they're like, I know, and then let's tear down Colfax and put in some bike lanes or something.
Bus transport, right?
That no one, who could ride? You would be murdered if you rode a bus in Denver, right? I mean, it's like, but that's what they do.
What people haven't noticed is they've just, Denver City Council just declared no parking requirements for anybody.
You build a massive high rise.
A high rise, a business office.
No parking spaces.
A shopping mall. You put in as little or as much as you want to, I guess. Because they say, well, this will increase more homes. Yeah, but it'll kill the market because nobody wants to live in those homes.
Yeah.
Because there's no parking. I mean, it's just suicide.
It is.
Suicide by city council.
Exactly. Let me read some of the comments. From Jacob, the appeals court decided for Trump, and Trump can get sensitive information from Treasury for DOGE purposes. I think the NGOs need to worry. That's absolutely true. Another court victory today, too. The appeals court, more bad news for the NGOs, Jacob. The appeals court today said Trump can slash the money to USAID. They were trying to block him there, too. So slowly but surely, these court rulings are coming around. Jacob is saying in a YouTube, in the search bar, type Biden talks about running red lights in D.C. It's like, but there you go. He's like, back to the housing. Interest rates are still high. Why give up a 2% interest rate to buy a house at 7% rate? Yeah, but, even in our area, the area we live in Westminster, the homes usually sell pretty quickly up here, but I kind of feel bad for some of these people. I think there's going to be, in our neighborhood, three different houses up for sale. And I think these are just people, I get the impression, their neighbors. It's sort of older people downsizing, right? But, you know, you're looking at the state of Colorado and the city of Denver is doing to the rest of the metropolitan area and you're screwed. Right.
Yeah.
Then from Charlene, how's the smoke on the Front Range? Bad today, Charlene. It's bad today. And we were talking with Hope earlier. I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. Leo, 20 years ago, the number 15 bus on East Colfax, I'd hate to see how bad it is now. You know what? Probably, how old am I? 30.
How old are you, Julie?
Think about that. 30 years ago, I used to ride the number 15 bus on East Colfax, and it was sketchy back then, you know. But now it's even worse. Also known as a gang bus route. Exactly. Okay. Well, I don't even think gangs aren't your biggest problem.
The gang members feel threatened. Yeah. It's dangerous on that place. Yeah. Julie's drug addicts and it's dangerous.
Charlene, Julia's 39. That's right. It couldn't have been 30 years ago. Sundance says we're full of hopium. Yeah, Sundance has been crazy there. Okay, let me go from Jacob. Sears Roebuck at Cherry Creek is gone. Then you go across the street and there are properties that are empty and Cherry Creek will not renew or negotiate new leases. Cherry Creek seems to survive a lot of the devastation that the rest of Denver goes through.
But electric parking is going to kill it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and they do stuff there. I remember one time doing a story, we timed it. So the TV station, Fox, I worked at Fox at the time. It's where Speer and Colfax and Sixth all come together. And to get to the Cherry Creek Mall, I think I timed it one day. They were doing a little bit of construction there. 45 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, that's what the shop owners are saying. This is killing us, right? No one is coming here. And they've got that new project going in. And yeah, if you can build up, I don't know where they put new developments in Cherry Creek, but without parking.
Well, they are. Well, that's a huge one. They got approved by the city council on the west end of Cherry Creek Mall for a massive office build/apartments with little or no parking. I mean, it's going to be, you know, awful traffic. It's going to be
like the school drop-off line every morning.
Yeah,
there
you go.
It's going to be like, well, and again, whatever, you know, thankfully the Denver City Council turned down the ranked choice voting
76.
Idea. Yeah. And you explained that well. I was like, why are they even talking about that? And you were saying, because the people with the money funding the very progressive communist candidates, that they want ranked choice voting, right?
Well, but they also want the other one, which was that right now you have two at-large districts, which you don't go to the mayor, you go up to a runoff if you don't get a majority. If you don't get a majority in the at-large ones, it's just plurality. And usually it's 25%, 30%. And the Workers' Party and others can garner that much and get very progressive people elected to city council.
I think what's happened in Denver is there are not that many developers anymore, so they don't care. So the city is you know, going down the tubes. And Mayor Johnson, again, they're talking about massive city employee layoffs while they spend $3 million on a Don't Eat Meat campaign. They spent, you know, $365 million on illegal immigrants. I mean, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars on homeless for a problem that's worst of all, you know.
Right.
So hopefully then as Trump cracks down on crime, what will happen is that you said, the people will go other places, right? Denver being one of them. And I don't know when Denver, I mean, obviously Trump can't federalize Denver, but I don't know when Denver or Colorado wake up.
Well, no, Colorado's not going to wake up because you have a combination of the Republicans and particularly the rich Republicans having no effort to get rid of mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting and everything else, have turned the state over to them. They literally turned over the state. I mean, they just have... Up in the legislature, they elected as their leadership on the Republican side, total rhinos.
Right.
And they're running campaigns against a few true conservatives like Stephanie Luck. I mean, that's what you've gotten down to.
Exactly. Jacob is saying in my Biden post, Biden ran the red light to avoid being carjacked in D.C. Seems like nothing has changed. From Jacob, Colorado's a $1 billion hole to get out of. And then Charlene, waiting for the first degree state, the first deep state arrest since we didn't get the Epstein blackmailed list. You know, and that's why, sometimes Sundance, who does a conservative treehouse, and if you don't look at that, it's great. I mean, he does. It can get a little deep divey, but that's the whole point of it.
And he can get bishy.
He can get kind of crabby. I think he's been a little bit crabbed about this whole Russia hoax thing because he said, oh, nobody was ever going to get indicted. There wasn't going to be a grand jury. And then, boom, the next day they announce a grand jury. Although President Trump today said, yeah, you know, I've talked to Pam Bondi about this. Hopefully Pam is on this. Pam, are you listening? I think who knows what will happen. But the way, excuse me, grand juries work and given the expectations, I mean, they're launching a grand jury on the Epstein thing into Hillary and Bill Clinton, and all of those people. On the Russiagate thing, stuff is coming out all the time now. There's an investigation, although these are, there's not a grand jury yet into the, well, they're parts of it into the Russiagate. It's complicated. I think that, I don't think James Comey's going to go to jail. I mean, it's going to be, and Sundance makes a good point in that, you know, it can be tricky having actual evidence that would rise beyond a reasonable doubt, blah, blah, blah. And just like what we all know was going on. But I think that every day we're seeing more information like leaking, you know, today it was like Schiff was orchestrating with the FBI leaking classified documents to build a narrative, right? Well, that's got to be illegal.
Well, you know, what's illegal is all in the eyes of the beholder these days.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. There's no feeling of, well, that's illegal. Yeah, okay. But who's going to prosecute me if we control the Justice Department?
I think the Trump administration they'll do their best, too, to file it. Oh, here from Charlene. Sundance has finally caught up with me, LOL. Hopium is now copium. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at least the information is out there. And I think a couple things have happened. One, the Democrats were really hoping that the Epstein stuff, and I think they were just making it up. They had no basis for their hope because there's nothing.
Do they have any basis right. for Russiagate?
No, exactly. But people, I saw a CNN poll where he was like, nobody cares. The search has gone down like 400%, right? People care about tariffs and things like that. But also, though, another poll, and again, you never know about polls, but it indicated that the vast majority of people believed that Russiagate was a hoax all designed to get Trump. So those are good things. As I've said before, people are waking up, right? And sometimes, well, but again, you know, it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle. I met a person over the weekend who commented that they worked for the did some work for the New York Times, and I was like, oh, you poor thing. I didn't say that, but I'm kind of like, that must not be fun anymore. I mean, I don't know what kind of work they did, but it was sort of like, you know, the New York Times isn't anything. From Charlene, Bondi had the list on her desk, so she said. Oh, and the Epstein stuff. You're not a big fan of Pam Bondi either, huh?
No, it's just sort of the opposite. I'm a big fan of Pam Bondi as a semi-incompetent attorney. But she's utterly in front of the camera kind of ones. And so she's going to push things. You know, somebody else with a little more intelligence might go, I don't know if I want to do that. She'll just plow ahead like she did against George Zimmerman, hopefully against all the deep staters. So I think she's a perfect one. Not that she's bright or a good lawyer or anything else, but I think she knows that you know her popularity depends on.
So she'll be like you. She just have a magic wand instead of I knight you. Yeah. She'll be like I indict you. I indict you, James Comey. And that'll just solve it. Well, and the other thing, I just think it's great that they're fighting lawfare with lawfare. If nothing else, all of these people now have to hire lawyers. All of these people have to read the media accounts of how awful they are. Even, you know, all of these people are not getting invited on MSNBC and CNN all the time.
Well, they're already on MSNBC and CNN. I mean, Brennan is on MSNBC. Clapper is on CNN. They don't have to be invited. They're regular contributors.
Yeah. But I think, though, that they're becoming tarnished, I think. In the eyes of a lot of people. And again, you know, no one would want to be, even if you're like, oh, I'm sure I'll get off on this, they'll never charge me. No one wants to hear, oh, you're the target of a grand jury investigation, right? Yeah. That's just bad.
Just not a happy phrase.
No.
You know, like, happy birthday. You're under indictment.
Right. And I think it may be, and you got whistleblowers coming forward all the time.
Well, yeah, that's the amazing part of all these people now coming forward. And it's getting worse and worse for him. And soon, you know, Loretta Lynch and all of them. But what we haven't seen is enough publicity about, you know, these terrible bloody queens like Mary McCord. God, I can't remember all. Lisa Monaco is another one.
All of these people in the Department of Justice who manipulated things when they're behind it. Yeah. Oh. But, you know.
Sally Yates.
Right. And then in the meantime, the media, they don't know what to do because Trump is then just kind of a final thing, is going to be meeting with Putin, I think, Friday.
Alaska, since they sold it to us. First time Russia's visited since they sold it to us in the 1860s.
And the media, they don't really know what to make about it because they don't want to openly say, no, we want the war to continue. So they're trying to be like, oh, I mean, they just kind of keep reporting all this stuff. Although Lindsey Graham is now saying President Trump is doing great things. So that makes me suspicious, actually.
Yeah,
I wonder if Lindsey Graham, if he's on to his new war in Burma or something like that, right?
Yeah, let's get one going there.
Well, I think there is one
Burma
there.
Burma falls.
Yeah, Burma falls, democracy falls.
Dies in darkness.
And then from Charlene, some more. She's saying that Bondi is blaming Obama judges for something she can release. She heard that Bondi and Susie Wiles were in sync. I don't know how much about that. You read stuff about Susie Wiles, and my sense on that, Charlene, is that the people who really know probably are not talking about it, right?
I think probably Susie Wiles is bad. Bad actor, but that's just a guess, not based on a whole lot.
Well, her job is to protect the president, right? And I don't know how much.
You know, she's had some people who she was urging the president to nominate that he's had to get rid of.
Yeah.
Because they were so incompetent.
Right. Well, yeah. And then again from Charlene, it's sweet that they pretend to care what we think. That's our morsel. Hey, at least they pretend to care what we think. They could be, maybe that's a difference. Republicans, at least they pretend to care what we think. Democrats don't even pretend to care what you think. Democrats just tell you you're racist, evil, horrible.
Just give us a blank ballot or we'll make a blank ballot.
Exactly. That'll be the thing. And then from Charlene, Wiles' job is to protect the deep state.
Yes.
Yeah, I get the sense, though, you know, Trump has a lot on his plate. And I have to say, every time I kind of get like, is he going to do something? Then he does. I mean, Trump, I think, has a, I don't know. I think he's limited to a great extent by how much he can do. But then he does a good job. But again, I mean, he's flummoxed the media in terms of this D.C. stuff, right? So he federalizes it. But even they have to admit it's way too dangerous, right? You know, it's like,
and the Kennedy Center has been a sole purview of the left ever since it was built in the 1960s. I mean, it's just and Trump fired the so-called bipartisan board, got rid of all the staff. And now he's going to have his own awards, which he's going to be the MC of, which is great.
I'm going to MC the awards.
Yeah.
And you're going to give one to me and Melania and Barron. And
no, it's George Strait.
No, I know.
Sylvester Stallone. It's Michael Crawford.
He's doing a great job. Yeah.
And so, I mean, you don't understand, you know, something at the Kennedy Center can throw off millions of dollars in grants and aids by having all the, you know,
right,
really radical arts groups purportedly doing, you know, shows in the sub theater or something. and they do. And they just throw off millions and millions that all go to lefties. And he just cut it all off. I mean, wait a minute, what about the arts?
And we're going to rename it, by the way. So.
Yeah, it's going to be Trump Center. it was Kennedy, anyway. You went around this.
Hey, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back here again on Monday. And I know our schedule's been all over the place a little bit, and so we appreciate you guys kind of putting up with that. But we will be here on Monday. Actually, we'll be here next Wednesday, too. And so in the meantime, thank you to everybody on Zoom, and thank you to the great guys at BBS. And we will see you later.
Take care, everyone.